just can't understand, you know. I treated you, I gave you everything you wanted. You know what I'm saying? And it's like you got another dude laying in the bed, wearing my robes, weighing you out. I know I was gone, but damn, I just can't get it, baby. But I loved you though, man. And I still do though.
Music right there that is not something I don't think we've ever played Ghostface Killah on Kaleidoscope. Thank you, Dave. This is Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I am Juliet Fremholt, joined in the studio by my good friend Dave Oppenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine, coming to visit us as he does when a new issue of the magazine is out. And so, Dave, we started off with Ghostface Killah because he was going to be the cover artist, but ended up not being. Before we get to the who is actually on the cover and why and all that good stuff, tell me a little bit about why you guys had originally chosen Ghostface Killah as your cover artist for this latest issue.
Sure. I mean, like, Ghetto Blaster is a big, I mean, we're kind of all big Wu-Tang fans. So anytime any of those guys have something drops, we get pretty excited about it. And I think it was lucky that this interview panned out how it did, because the publicist who handled it was like, do you want to do a cover story? We're like, sure, we'd be thrilled to. We got the interview taken care of. And then when the photo shoot fell through, well, then it's like, well, I don't know. I'm not just going to use like a supplied press photo for the cover. That's a little bush league even for us. But I, you know, then we got the story at least, because don't think if I would have said, hey, we'll just, you know, do a 2-page story on the interior.
They'd probably have been like, nah, pass.
So it worked out. You know, it would have been great to have Ghost on the cover, but like I'm still pretty excited with what we were able to do.
Tell me a little bit about his new album and what you find appealing about it. I mean, it's a very classic sound.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like if you look into his interview, like he's basically got all these projects that he's does. He most recently did, who he did it with. But it was basically the spaghetti western themed album. And this
some of that wasn't some of that featured in a Tarantino movie?
It could have been, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I forget what, 12 Reasons to Die, I want to say? Maybe something like that. But this one's 36 Chambers. And again, it's this kind of thematic sort of thing that it was interesting when he's talking about that. He's like, when I've got these concepts, it's a little easier for me to come up with, you know, my rhymes and what I'm going to do with it. It felt so white coming out of my mouth. but yeah, no, it's just interesting. He's got so many projects coming up too. So I don't know. It's always interesting to see what they do. It's always pretty quality stuff. You can count on that. So
okay, so Ghostface didn't make the cover. Who did?
Oh man, if we just had a soundboard, we could put in a drum roll.
I know.
but we put, this is only our second non-music cover, but this time we put Tom Sharpling from Best Show, which some of you may know as a terrestrial radio show, some of you may know as a podcast, but he's just an incredibly talented, funny interviewer, comedian. Also co-host the show sometime with John Worcester from Superchunk and Mountain Goats. And, you know, in addition, like, there have been a bunch of musicians. I want to say Amy Mann and Ted Leo and people like that have all been on the show. So there's definitely the ties, but it was cool just to see how the stars aligned. And I always like to do something different with the cover when I can. So when I saw this backup opportunity, we definitely leaped at it.
And for those who aren't familiar with Tom Sharpling, I will say that coming from the college radio world originally, he was kind of a guy that a lot of the college radio DJs, especially in the mid-2000s, were really looking to stylistically as somebody who was really in the know, not just about music, but was formulating a show that mixed that great music and humor and pop culture in a way that at that time, especially, you weren't hearing on commercial radio for sure. It was definitely a foundation for a lot of what college radio DJs around the country were doing at the time that I was involved in college radio.
Yeah, I think we're really hitting our crotchety mid-30s to early-40s demographic pretty well with this, so I'm happy how that turned out.
All of the people who like me think something that came out in 2005 is new.
It is pretty weird to think about that.
I know.
You're referencing decades and you realize, like, ooh, I got to reach pretty far back to get to the 90s.
For sure. Other people also, I will say, if folks are fans of Mark Maron's WTF podcast, you may have heard not just an interview that Mark did with Tom a couple of years ago on one of his anniversary episodes. I want to say it was maybe 250, but they've also done some side podcasts called The Mark and Tom Show as well, sort of combining the WTF aesthetic with the Best Show aesthetic.
Yeah, and it's cool too. Like, if you get out there, you know, get a copy of the magazine and read the story, like, all of the past episodes are all compiled on WFMU's site, in addition to, you know, obviously all the podcasts are now up on his own, you know, Best Show website. And also, it's kind of cool, like, he does this show, even when it's a podcast, pardon me, he does it live, and so he can have people call in. It's fun. We had a top 10 best show moments, and I had two of my writers compile that, and one, the guy actually called on and just, you know, he flamed out, and it was horrible. But, you know, I mean, that's part of the fun, just, you know, getting in on it. It's pretty cool how he opens it up like that.
For sure. Do we want to hit on some of the other non-music stuff now, or do we want to wait and sprinkle that in?
Sure. No, I mean, okay. We can absolutely go to it now. I mean, obviously, the most exciting thing, we've got an interview with the Iron Sheik, which I should just leave a silent pause to let all of your gasps accumulate with that.
For those who know what that means.
The famous WWE, WWF back then wrestler, huge heel, the guy who basically pushed Hulk Hogan over. There was a documentary that was done on him recently. It was really interesting. I believe, and I'm doing this a little on the seat of my pants, but they're these two Canadian guys of Iranian descent. And basically their father knew the Iron Sheik from back in the days in Iran. But just they were always such huge fans of his growing up. They wanted to do this documentary. And when they started to do this documentary, they'd seen, like, just how low the Iron Sheik had gotten. Like, his daughter was murdered, and his family just kind of spun out. Like, one of the big reasons why the Iron Sheik kind of left wrestling, or at least left some of the majors, was because he was caught in a car, I think it was with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, with cocaine. Mm-hmm. And, like, this isn't, you know, back in the Attitude Era, where if you got caught with cocaine, that would probably be some huge push for you.
It'd be a storyline.
But no, I mean, this, you know, this is huge, and it just kind of ruined him. And it's so exciting, and I don't want to give too much of it away, but these guys, when they discovered him, they were some of the people that helped coax him to get this Twitter account. And this Twitter account is basically what's helped revive him. Like, if you go on there, like, be ready for some swears, but be ready for some hilarious swears. So it's just kind of cool to see how, you know, it's definitely a redemption story. So that was pretty exciting.
Did you ever think, so I have to ask, we were talking a little bit before we came on the air about how, you know, professional wrestling has gone from being like this big pop culture thing to sort of a very marginalized thing to sort of becoming this kind of interesting niche thing again, and is growing in popularity again. Did you ever think when you got involved with a music magazine, I mean, I know it's a culture magazine too, but that you would get to do a piece on someone like the Iron Sheik?
No, I mean, I don't know. I was kind of surprised when they're like, yeah, let's do the interview. And I was like, okay, are we going to be talking to, like, you know, the director some of the writers? It's like, no, we can line something up with Sheik. And I'm just like, what? I mean, the guy who did the interview is also our comic and gaming associate editor, and he's kind of the one who drug me into the wrestling world, although granted I haven't been complaining. It's been a fun ride, you know, going to shows here at Rockstar and things like that. But yeah, no, it's fun. Like, I do want to be careful, though. I mean, Ghetto Blaster is definitely a music magazine. I feel like one of my main beefs with a lot of music magazines that I'd read, and Paste was one of these, too, that it started out as this great music magazine, and you're like, oh, awesome, I love this. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's like, Michael Cera, what's on your iPod? And I'm like, I don't care what's on Michael Cera's iPod. And just these, like, ridiculous. I mean, it's all right, but, like, I want it to stay primarily a music publication. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're other types of nerds, and we play board games, and we, you know, we like wrestling, and we read books and fancy things like that. So I like including those, but I mean, that's basically, you know, you're not picking up Ghetto Blaster because you want to know what comics or what, you know, books or games to play. That's just kind of like a, oh yeah, oh, that's fun, you know, mm-hmm. just a little added thing, the cultural peripheral of nerdery.
It's got to be a tough line to toe sometimes, you know, that on the one hand, like, being interested in other areas of culture and, like, sometimes wanting to share that with other people, especially when you've got, like, something you're really into or a cool find, but also wanting to really stay true to that kind of narrow, like, you know, this is what we are. We are a music magazine.
Sure, and I think a lot of that's trial and error. Like, I used to do, I'm glad I vetted this word before, we used to have an article called Give a Damn, where, like, I'd try to put, like, a social conscious type of article in each issue. And it just got to this point where I kind of felt like I was stretching. And it's like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be too preachy. Like, there are definitely things that I feel passionately about, but, like, I don't – there's plenty of soapboxes and people up on them. So, like, let's just keep this as more of a music magazine. But before we get back to the music, another mm-hmm. really exciting thing in this issue is we've got, speaking of the gaming side of things, Fantasy Flight did this amazing tabletop miniature game called Imperial Assault, and you get to play, like, as Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, and there's a little, you know, probably, like, I don't know, 4-inch tall AT-ST model. just fun, kind of like almost like a dungeon crawl, almost like a D&D style thing, except you're playing with Star Wars characters. So we got to do an interview with one of the developers of that, and it's just fun, like, being very open about our nerdery and their nerdery, mm-hmm. and just when, like, you don't have that sort of pretension, just to see how much, like, we're all geeking out about this stuff, and, like, whether it's playing it or designing it, it's pretty cool just to, I don't know, live in a country where we can afford to have such luxuries.
Right? Yeah. Definitely, definitely. You want to go back to the music?
Yeah, yeah, all it's right. about time. That's
okay.
enough.
All right, let's go back to the music. Who are we going to hear from next?
We're going to hear from Colleen Green, who actually was, past listeners will realize that this was an artist that I missed out on before. But we got her in this time, and the new album's just phenomenal. So we'll just go ahead and give that a go.
All right, let's take a listen to that one. This is Kaleidoscope on WISO.
We'll be right back.
Music right there from Toy Guitar. That one was called Human Hyenas.
Yes.
I like that name. This is Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. I'm Juliet Frumholt, joined in the studio by Dave Obenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine. And so tell me a little bit about Toy Guitar. I liked that song. Had a very fun vibe to it.
Yeah, that was totally just, that one could have been the one that got away. But luckily we had a half page to fill. And I was just scrolling through a bunch of the downloads that get sent to me and saw that coming from Fat Wreck. And Fat Wreck, you know, you're probably going to get something pretty good from them. So this is definitely a little poppier than a lot of their standard fare. But, like, as soon as – that's the first track of the album, too. So, like, as soon as that – like, I knew pretty much 20 seconds into this song, like, yep, I like this. This is really great.
Yeah.
but, I mean, that's – it's some older dudes, too. It's some band some guys from One Man Army and Swinging Utters. So yeah, there's a little bit of history there too. It's just funny, like I did the interview on that, and just to think of, like, it's really hard with good rock music, I feel. And I'd be interested to see if you have the same issue where it's like psychedelic, like freak folk music. Yeah, I can talk about that and quantify that and write like a 150 word review without thinking too much about it. But like good rock music, sometimes I'm like, it's
just really good.
It's good.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
what else to say. And I asked him, and he's like, yeah, no, I have the same problem, really. I don't know how to describe it.
No, I do agree with you, actually. When I was doing a lot more music writing, actually, I had that same problem. Sometimes I would with things where, you know, maybe the genre influences were really obvious, or there was some, like, strange mashup or fusion, it was very easy to, you know, expound upon that for words and words, but sometimes I'm just like, this is good and I like it.
Which, yeah, because it's like almost anything you would write, if you tried to describe it, would almost sound unflattering. It's like, well,
right.
they're not trying to reinvent the wheel or, you know, I mean, this has definitely been done before and, you know, but
and
doesn't
yet
make it any less fun.
Sometimes a good rock song is just a good rock song.
Yeah, and I think with a band like that, I think you can hear too this sort of palpable, like, enthusiasm, like, in the music too. And that's a big deal to me. Like, I remember going out to Pop Punk Fest out in Baltimore and seeing this old Lookout band called I can't remember. Doesn't matter. They just kind of gotten back together, and you could tell they weren't really expecting that anyone was going to care. But, like, then they came on stage looking like 40-year-old dads, and the crowd just went nuts. And there was just this stupid grin on all of their faces, and you just couldn't help but feel like, this is great. I'm making someone feel super happy, and I'm feeling super happy. Like, it was just a really awesome feeling.
There's definitely something to be said for that just happy vibe that happens sometimes with music, where it doesn't have to be about, you know, this, that, or the other, or the deeper meaning or whatever. It's just, you know, somebody is playing music and having a good time and you're listening to the music and you're having a good time and there's just a give and take there. It's just very, you know, just
like
very organic.
You're at some general admit show and then you look over and you see some other idiot with a smile on their face and it's just like,
jumping
this is great. You're my best friend.
Yep. Definitely, definitely. Before Toy Guitar, we heard Colleen Green.
Yeah.
And that was one. So you had passed on her before. She was the one who got away.
Well, I didn't pass. Like, I just got the CD too late.
Oh, you got it too late. Okay, that was the one that got away.
Cycle.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, so like when I heard, and I even fired off an email like, hey, please give me an early heads up on the next record because I really want to be able to cover it in some way. And it was great too because it definitely didn't disappoint. Like, this album fits me kind of perfectly, just celebrating my 32nd birthday. It's all about this, like, turning 30 and just this idea of, like, what does it mean? You know, do I need to grow up? Like, is it something? Some ways it's pretty great to grow up, but just the insecurities that come with that, too. It's a great, great record. She normally does this kind of stripped down drum machine, just her on guitar stuff. But this one, she had some of the dudes from Jeff the Brotherhood playing with her. And it just really fleshed out the song. And even, you know, and it'll come up to another song we'll play later, but kind of gave us a Breeders-y tone, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were super excited to be able to get her in on this.
Very nice, very nice. We're going to do a set of three songs next. What are we starting off with?
We're going to start out with a band called Torch. They're another one of those bands that just sound good and it's hard to explain. It's hard rock, but when you say hard rock, you're just like, that doesn't sound good. But trust me, it's good. Then we're going to have Swerve Driver. Classic.
Yay.
Shoegaze band. Yeah. I mean, if you know them, you're excited. If you don't, get excited. And then Screaming Females, which really interesting story. Just like this incredible, like teeny lady who is the guitarist and singer, but she just annihilates the guitar. It's amazing. And this album isn't as shreddy. Like, they came back and they wanted to do something different after being gone for a while, but yeah. Stellar nonetheless.
Well, let's start out with the track by Torch. This is Kaleidoscope on WISO.
Call the line.
That was music from Screaming Females here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. Before that, we heard Swerve Driver, and we started off with Torch. I'm Juliet Frumholt, joined in the studio by Dave Obenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine, a really, really great music magazine that is in part, I guess we could say, based out of Dayton.
Yeah, there are a lot of us here in Dayton.
Yeah, yeah. Got a nice Dayton contingency, we'll say. As we do from time to time, Dave joins us in the studio, shares some new music with us, things that he and his staff have been covering in their latest issue. They've got a new one out now with Tom Sharpling on the cover and featuring these artists that we just heard. So that Screaming Females track, I loved that.
Yeah, they're incredible. A trio. They were gone for a while as the guitarist, lead singer, she was sick. But they kind of came back and kind of reinvented themselves a little. Basically, they just wanted to make sure, like, hey, we've been gone for a while. We don't want to just remake the album that we did before. But they are just blistering. Like, I saw them play an in-store at Used Kids in Columbus. And just that small of a space, like, it's one of those, oh, yeah, I guess you do need earplugs for in-stores periodically.
From time to time.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, they're incredible. On an equally incredible label out of New Jersey called Don Giovanni. But they do some great stuff, too. I think Black Wine's on there, I want to say. I'm trying to remember. Just anything you see with the Don Giovanni label on it, just buy it. It's like Lookout in the 90s. Who am I kidding? I like Lookout in the 2000s, too. So, nerd talk.
Nothing wrong with a little music nerd talk there. And Swerve Driver, as you said when we were introducing it, one of those bands that I feel like a select group of people who were kind of around when shoegaze was just getting started have just this extremely like soft spot in their hearts for them, but they're one of those bands I feel like more people should know about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole shoegaze movement was pretty rad. I got in through it through like just pouring over Oasis liner notes and things like that. And then when Andy Bell joined Oasis on bass, I was like, well, who did Andy Bell play with? And then I went and bought all the Ride CDs. I'm like, this is incredible. And then I bought, you know, Chapter House and early Verve stuff and Swerve Driver. But what Swerve Driver is interesting, where a lot of those other bands get this, the juxtaposition with shoegaze is this very intense wall of sound, you know, just pedals and distortion, guitars hitting you like waves. But it's also coupled with normally very detached sort of airy vocals. I think Swerve Driver was different because there was always this sort of like muscle car sort of imagery attached with them. And it was just interesting in the interview they were talking about how it came through them, through Chuck Berry and T-Rex and Matchbox cars. They were like, well, we want to embody that with this other thing that's going on. So that was their little unique niche when it came to shoegaze.
And I think next we're gonna move into some stuff that's a little more experimental.
Yeah, there was some real head trips of interviews in this issue. One of our writers, super talented guy who's a co-owner of Hoffa's Record out in Athens, Andrew Lampola, did an interview with Ben Chastney of Six Organs of Admittance. And Ben Chastney is just a remarkable talent. All of his stuff is just really, really great. It ranges from very contemplative, sort of looped acoustic to just mountain melting distortion and chaos, and sometimes within the same album. But like, you always get this feeling. I've interviewed him a couple of times, and like I said, Andrew handled it this time. But there's this frustration that he doesn't want to ever repeat what he's done. He wants to continually push it, and like, you can hear like a frustration. Like, if it's like, if you thinks he'd failed or if he hears something that he'd done before. But this interview, Andrew got over 10,000 words.
Oh, my goodness. Dory.
They aren't all in the magazine.
Wow.
We edited it down. It got into some real nerd shop talk there. When you read it, you understand why. And luckily, Andrew did a phenomenal job. I think one of the best stories he's written for us, just in kind of condensing it and making it digestible. But like, you can even get a deck of cards. Ben Chastney designed this deck of cards that was supposed to help him kind of deconstruct and reconstruct in original ways ways to play music. And they like would put these cards out, and that's how they would determine like how the songs would be played and the progressions that they'd use. And he, I mean, we were talking in the break about like how you'd studied Greek cults, and like he was marketing back to all this like mysticism and then these like ideas that they had, and then just like extrapolating that and bringing it into music. And it's just like, this is deep. But whenever it got too deep, like, you could be like, oh, this is awful. I'm sure you're going to have the hardest time transcribing this interview. So it always got a laugh line at whenever it got too heavy.
The card concept is really interesting.
Yeah, and I think you can buy it. It's like a deck of 52, so you can still play it just as like a regular playing deck. But he was just saying how he kind of made a game out of this new style of music that he's doing. But it's just this kind of goal, like, I think, I forget what the pull quote in there, but just this idea of like, I want to play something wrong and see like what happens with that. So
that's a really interesting approach to music, I have to say.
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting interview. Like, Andrew did a great job in getting it from Ben, and Ben's just, I don't know, if you, like I said, I'm telling you to buy everything, but definitely buy some Six Organs of Admittance stuff.
Well, let's hear that one, and then we'll hear a couple others after that, and we'll come back and tell you about them. How about that?
Sounds great.
All right, let's hear this one.
We'll be right back.
That was Jan St. Warner here on Kaleidoscope on member-supported 91.3 WYSO Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at wyso.org. WYSO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. I'm Juliette Frommelt, joined in the studio by Dave Obenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine, and we are talking about new music, talking about a lot of the artists and music that appear in the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster, which is on newsstands now. And that last set was a little more experimental. It was kind of fun, actually, because I want to say two out of three, but actually all three of those songs, they work on this show, and I could also totally play them on Alphrams. So tell me about the Jan St. Warner, first of all.
Well, before I get into that, it just kind of reminds me of a Comedy Bang Bang bit where between two of the guys where it's like, if it's your first time listening, goodbye, new listeners. But no, Jan St. Warner is from Mouse on Mars, which is just an incredible electronica group. This is definitely him doing something a little more out there. It's like a kind of an operatic release that he's been working on for a long time with visual elements that interact with it and just very, very intricate. In the same way that I was talking about Ben Chastney from Six Organs of Admittance, Jan's just has this drive to constantly be creating something new. And I think it was when I interviewed him last time where this is the real disappointment I heard. Like, he was just getting down on himself at the end. He's like, I tried to do something new, but then I listened to it and it sounded like everything else that I'd done before. I'm like, hey, buddy, no, it's cool. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really fun.
But yeah, no, he's a crazy, interesting character. And I definitely think I do have an affinity for him because when I was interning out in New York, I was in a band at the time, too, and I was talking with him. He came in, and we were working on the Mouse on Mars record, and he's like, oh, are you in a band? And like half broken English, and really quietly, I was like, yeah, and I play bass. And he's like, yeah, you look really cool like a bass player. So, I don't think anyone's ever told me I look cool, but I'll take it, and I'll cover your records in the magazine that I'm not editing right now.
Now, who did we hear before that? Because I liked that one as well.
Yeah, that was Sam Prekop, who most of you will know better as one of the members of Sea and Cake, just an incredible band on Thrill Jockey. He does this solo release for Thrill Jockey, too. For a lot of his solo work, though, he's got this kind of affinity for old analog synthesizers, and which is cool because an issuely feature we do is the What's on Deck, where we just have someone, you know, tell us what they're currently into, and it can be anything. I think one of my favorite ones was, I want to say it was Damian Jurado, and he's like, I just like recording, like I set out a recorder at the fish market in Seattle, and then I pick a random address from the phone book and I mail it out to them. And it's just weird, like you get these little insights into these quirky characters and things like that. And we don't always get something that great. But last time, what's his face? Tobin Sprout did it for us, and he just had this beautiful one about this go-kart he had as a kid, and just now growing up having his kid and finding one of those on eBay and buying it and fixing it up with him. So you always get some sort of interesting story, or you just get an interesting insight like we did with Sam in the most recent issue.
Nice. Well, speaking of Tobin Sprout, I think our Dayton block is next.
Dayton block.
Bringing it all back around.
That's right. If you read Ghetto Blaster, you'll definitely realize that I definitely shine a light on lots that's going on here. And, you know, partially because I'm biased and I live here, but there's a lot of rad stuff coming out of Dayton. And I was fortunate enough in this issue to be able to talk to Dave Doman. There's a new Swearing at Motorist album coming out, and they're actually playing tomorrow in Columbus and then on Friday here in Dayton. Definitely recommend coming out to that show. It's always great stuff.
And that one's at Blind Bob's.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I want to say it's at the Tree Bar in Columbus, but that could be wrong. And then we also talked with Kim Deal, who's been doing her 7-inch series. And then talk to the one and only Robert Pollard on his new project, Ricked Wiki. So,
it's like you got the Trinity there.
Yeah, it's right there. Singular, man. But different. I don't know.
Well, which one shall we take a listen to first there?
Yeah, let's do Swearing at Motorists. That sounds good.
All righty. So this is one from the new Swearing at Motorists album, and they are indeed playing Friday night at Blind Bob's here in Dayton. It's part of their 20th anniversary tour. Again,
we're old.
Again with the feeling old. Let's take a listen to this one right now.
Damn the piper, damn the season, damn the way we defy reason, damn this song I'm damned to sing, damn the way this phone won't ring, damn the way this phone won't ring.
Thank you. jukebox and always on the run. I sell the circus, I make the posters, I skim the profits, I spin the tops until they come on. A throwback to the carnival days. Mobility, mobility, mobility.
To recognize that voice.
You better.
You're out of the Dayton Club. So that was one of how many's he got this year so far?
I think the funny thing is when I got this album, I also got Best of Robert Pollard. I think it was 2012 through 2014. And it was
discs was it?
It was like 24 songs long and like six different projects. And I'm like, jeez. Yep, that's about right.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
I still listen to it. I'm like, you missed a couple here. Mm-hmm. it's just a sampler. I don't know. I'm a schoolgirl. I'm a total mark for Robert Pollard. So he can't do wrong by my eyes.
So which project is this? Is this one actually from?
This is Rickid Wiki, which should be exciting. It's a continuation of Robert and Tobin Sprout working together. I want to say one of the other guys from the quote-unquote classic lineup is in on this too. It's – I don't know. When GBV called it a day, I think the thing that bums me out the most about that was – well, the two things was the idea that Robert and Tobin wouldn't write together anymore, which would really bum me out, and also that I wouldn't get to see him live anymore. I've heard inklings that maybe we'll still get some live show scattered about
from
people who've talked to people. You know, it's a small town. So, but I mean, Bob changes his mind like every day. Mm-hmm. Like, his manager and I are on a really good relationship, which is good. Cause, like, I remember the last couple interviews he's done with me, just, you know, like his manager will contact me, like, yeah, we're not gonna do that anymore. Or, oh, we're gonna do this now.
Geez,
and like,
oh,
okay,
yeah.
we'll do some editing.
Focus.
Some quick little things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, you need a daily blog to keep up with Robert Pollard.
He is one of the few artists who consistently, not just like Ryan Adams did that one year where he was releasing like five albums, but like Robert Pollard is just so prolific and performs under so many different names and projects and things like that. I have trouble keeping up with them, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, like, if, you know, after, you know, 50 years from now, after he's gone, if people will be able to look back and, like, if there may be, like, this uptick in appreciation because we'll finally be able to catch up to him. Like,
yeah.
After, you know, there's, you know, a couple years where we don't have 10 Robert Pollard albums. I don't, this is feeling a little morbid. I'm not
gonna... Well, the morbid part of it aside, though, to be able to step back and look at it as a body of work.
Yeah.
I personally have not been able to do that yet because I'm just trying to keep up.
Yeah, like I've got a full-time job. You expect me to listen to all the Robert Pollard albums too? Come on.
Yeah, yeah. It's I will be interested to be able to do that at some point, to sort of step back and look at all these different projects in relation to each other, because I often don't get to compare them in the way that I would with other artists because I'm too busy trying to listen to the next thing that's come out.
It's funny to me. Our publisher, Eddie, kind of gives me grief about how often I'll revisit Robert Pollard in the magazine. But I'm like, sure, it's been 2 years, but it's also been like 10 albums.
Right, yeah.
Like, I mean, I know, like, we use that rule with, you know, some of the other artists. Like, maybe we'll sit out the next album because, you know, what do you have to talk about? But, like, Bob, you know. Bob.
Yeah, for sure. Before that, we heard Kim Deal, and that is one from her 7-inch project.
Yep, I believe it's her 5th 7-inch, I want to say. But yeah, she's been turning those out, and they've all been pretty consistently great, which is exciting. But it's one thing, I've got the MP3s of those, I think, which is just, I don't know. I never listen to music on my computer. I just don't. But then also, I don't listen to 7-inches a lot because those are equally annoying. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to figure out some way to do it. Burn it all to a CD or something.
Order them and, yeah. And we started off, of course, with Swearing at Motorists from their latest album. And they are, of course, performing Friday night here in Dayton as part of the 20th anniversary tour. They're going to be at Blind Bob's. And we've got info up on that show on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. While you're there, connect with Ghetto Blaster magazine. We've got links up to their Facebook page and their website as well. And the website is constantly... You guys are just churning out the content there as well, too.
Tim Andrell is a beast. Just an amazing, amazing force to be reckoned with. He's always getting new stuff up there. And, it's consistently great. And he also does his own sound check podcast. Mm-hmm. Sound check chat, something like that.
Yeah.
But you'll definitely, there's an ad over to the right, and he gets to talk some really great people. It's a really good podcast too.
And where can folks pick up this latest issue of Ghetto Blaster here in the Miami Valley?
We're at Omega. I've dropped off issues at Superfly for Joshua at Toxic Beauty to come pick up tomorrow. So as long as he does that, we should be there too. And hopefully I'll be making it out to Ghostlight probably this weekend. And it should be at Columbus at Used Kids soon too. But then we're also distributed through some larger stores like Books and Company. But I think, you know, those are locals, and definitely hit up the mom and pop shops.
For sure. We've been talking with Dave Obenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine. The new issue with Tom Sharpling from Best Show on the cover is out now. Get it at Omega, Toxic Beauty, Ghostlight Coffee coming this weekend, or some of the larger retailers. But yeah, support local. Or be the, what number you want to do? Fourth?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Or be the fourth caller. Right,
I think
now.
We got two.
Okay, so be the fourth and fifth callers. You don't have to be both at the same time. Fourth or fifth, I guess I should say. Be the fourth or fifth caller at 937-769-1998. 937-769-1998. Fourth and fifth callers win copies of the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. And Dave, we've got one more we're going to go out on.
Yeah, it's Twerps. They're a band from Australia, picked up by Merge. I don't know. They're fun. They're, you know, it's kind of twee, almost teenage fan club. I mean, it's a young band, so there's not a ton to talk about, but it's fun music. So hopefully it'll be, you know, fun to watch them as they get out there in two or more and develop more of their sound.
Well, we're going to take a listen to that one right now. And remember, it's 937-769-1998. Fourth and fifth callers get copies of the new issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. And Dave, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks.